All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening. I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Of course, I'm out of the studio today, but want to welcome everybody that's listening on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody watching on our Facebook Live and YouTube. Glad to have you guys with us, man. Very special guest here on the show this morning. It's his first time being on the Jaguar Journal, so we're going to ease him in because he is an outsider, but nonetheless, it's swag, and we're talking some swag basketball this morning. So I want to welcome to the show very special guest. He's the athletic director at Alabama A&M, Dr. Paul Bryant. Good morning, Dr. Bryant.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, man. How about yourself? How's everything going up there in Huntsville, Alabama?
You know, I'm doing well, and everything's going well up here. We're gearing up for our spring game today, but we have our orientation, and then a baseball game at noon, and then our spring game today at 3. So it's a lot going on the hill today.
I say good luck to you guys. How about that? Listen, let's talk about it, right? Big news, because it's been all over the place, right? We had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Travian Scott about his basketball hire. Now I get an opportunity to talk to you, Dr. Bryant, about your basketball hire. Because that's a big process for a lot of athletic directors, making sure you pick the right guy. Let's jump right into it. You hired a basketball coach this week. Talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you, it is a big process. But for me, when I'm looking for a coach, I'm looking for someone who, first of all, is the right fit for the institution. And I've had the opportunity to watch the coach that I hired, Dante Jackson, as a player. When he was playing for Central State in Ohio, and I was coaching in Ohio then, and been able to watch him grow. Then I hired him at Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and then once I took over at Grambling, I knew that he was the guy. We hadn't won in 30 years there, and I knew hiring him would be the guy to get it done. And his first year, we won. We had a winning season. That's the first thing. And then they won the regular season, and he's just a leader of men, and he can get it done. He's a program builder. And I know here we haven't had a winning season here since 2005, and I knew Dante was the right fit for that, to rebuild this program and get us back to where we're supposed to be. Coach Pettaway, in his days, just consistently winning, and we want to get back to that winning way. And Dante Jackson, again, he and I have a good relationship, and as he stated, administration matters. And so I'm excited to have him on the hill.
Saw you guys on social media. You were back to back. You said we're back. That means getting an opportunity of a guy that you're very familiar with. Yes. You talked about how long you've known him, but talk about, you know, you in building this basketball program, what you saw from the previous year, from this past year, and what you're looking for out of your basketball program moving forward.
Yeah, so I'm an ex-basketball coach. So when I look at the fundamentals of a program, I look at how the students react to a coach. I also look at how they play. Once you're trying to get a lot out of them when, you know, you're late in the season, and sometimes they give up on you. And I know Dante, hiring Dante, I know his kids don't give up on him. And they work hard for him. They go through the wall. They will run through a wall for him. And so that was critical for me. And, you know, seeing that over the last few years that our team, we were declining as far as our record. We were declining in our record, and I wanted to make sure we, you know, you got to stop the bleeding. At one point, we stopped the bleeding, and I think now we're going to progress up like we're supposed to.
Got a new basketball facility that's there. You bring in another coach out of the conference from UAPB, and Coach Dunn Thornton in her first year at Alabama A&M, and she did a lot with that program, winning a lot of games. So overall, your vision, looking at athletics, you're realizing basketball is another door to be able to open in, and what we've seen with the SWAC in the NCAA tournament. Alabama State goes and win a game, which I know you don't want to talk much about them, but they go and win. a game in the NCAA tournament this year. Southern University women's basketball becomes the first ranked women's team to win a NCAA tournament game. But looking overall, where are we headed, in your opinion, in terms of a conference when it comes to basketball?
Well, I think you just hit it. You know, we have a couple of programs that have done that consistently, and Southern being the first women, which I think if you pay attention to what's going on in the SWAC and look at the coaches that are being hired and look at the, you know, Alabama State just hired Johnetta Hayes. And I'm going to tell you, these type of hires are going to create an atmosphere that SWAC is going to be a basketball conference. And, you know, everyone says that the MEAC is the basketball conference. But not only are we strong in football, we're going to be strong in basketball as a whole. And I'm excited where the SWAC is going. And I tell you, Dawn Thornton has done a phenomenal job. She's done exactly what I thought she would do. Again, we're trying to energize our fan base here because they haven't been as successful in the past recent years. So it was, for me, I had to give our basketball programs a shot in the arm and say, let's go. And I think the two coaches that we have in those sports are going to do that and do that well.
Are you a fan? And look, you know, I've been hearing, you know, a lot of people saying when it comes to basketball in this conference, man, you know, we got to get a better strength of out-of-conference victories because, look, quite frankly, nobody really likes the 16 seed. But looking at that 16 seed in that first four in, it's giving our conference at least an opportunity to win an NCAA tournament game. But so it's like it's almost a good and bad type of feel because at the same time people want a 15, 14, and lower seed. But at the same time, that 16 does give you a quality opportunity to go in and get a victory in the tournament.
That's right, and it does. And that 16 seed, it does give us an opportunity to play a team that's comparable to us and give us the opportunity to win. And it, for us, it's a unit. You know, you win, you get those NCAA units for the next 6 years, and that unit is finances. So, yeah, I don't mind the 16. However, I don't think that our conference should play all these guaranteed games because it really beats up your kids. And then mentally, whether we want to believe it or not, mentally it affects us going into conference. Then we're like, okay, we've lost 8-9 in a row. Okay, let's try to win one. No, we personally, I tell my coaches, yes, play 2 or 3, no more than 3 game guarantees. And if you look at our schedule, that's the way we do it. But we play regional play because we want to get our RPI up and make sure that we're when we do play, and let's say we do win the conference, then they may not look at us as a 16 seed because our strength of schedule is good playing regional play and not all the game guarantee.
I want to pivot from basketball for a second because you also made a hire in football as well. Talk about that hire in football in the direction you want to move in even there. You've had your work cut out this year.
Yes, I have. They said, you know, hiring 3 of the highest marquee teams in sports in an athletic department, it's been something else. It's been tasking. But seeing, you know, I've been here, I'm in my 3rd year, and us losing to the rival consistently for the last 3 years, and then not winning the big game, that became...
Hold on. Is that how you refer to them, the rival?
I do.
You know, I'm sorry, you were going, but I just like had to hold on. Like, is what we refer to, that's just the rival. Okay,
that's
all right.
The rival.
I'm sorry.
So, but you know what? Admittedly, so I did the same thing when I was the AD at Graham. So I know the Jaguars. I said the rival. but you know, seeing that and having that consistent losses. And just seeing how the young men reacted in the program, I wanted to see that we structure the program a little bit better and have a better product out there. And I think hiring Coach Shade, who is a proven winner, and when I say leader of men, another leader of men, and believe in doing the program, doing everything the right way. He, you know, we did a national search, and he came out on top, man. And we have some great candidates, but he's done quite well in that interviewing process. And watching him over the last, you know, few weeks of practice, I'm very impressed with how he runs his show. And also the coaches that he's hired. He's hired some guys that have played at the highest level, NFL and Power Four institutions. So, and he runs the program that way. So I'm looking forward to what's happening today. You know, it's spring ball, so it's not, I know we're going to win today, but I know that I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this season.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Brian, as an athletic director, it comes with much criticism with the job, but for you, we are starting to evolve in athletics, right? And of course, you have those who have a lot of money, then you have those who don't have a lot of money and just trying to, hey, we got to find money here, there, and everywhere. What is it like on this level as an athletic director for someone like you having to try to go out and you want to be successful in so many different departments in terms of so many different programs within your athletic department? What is that like for you to have a mindset? And do you have to now in this world become the business mindset and step away from the sports and athletic mindset in order to find success, to generate money, and find ways to continue success in programs today?
Yeah, I think that that's the mindset that you have to have. You have to have a business mindset. And I think that has turned over the last 5 to 7 years to really, truly a business mindset. And yes, we do a lot more with less, but what we do is, instead of talking about, for me, what we don't have, I look at what we do and how we can repurpose what we have as financially. And then you have to be strategic in partnering with people that can do things for you. I'm not sure if you saw, just signed on with Deloitte. You know, I had have an alliance now with Deloitte, the largest accountant and partnering services in the world. But I partner with them to enhance our brand and also enhance the money that we have coming in. And so you get out there and you show who you are, show your strategic vision, and a lot of people want to give. A lot of people want to support. But we do a lot more with a lot less. And I'm fine with that, but because I know that what we're going to do is going to be more impactful. And then I see what the big boys do. However, yeah, you have all the resources. So I look at it as I have less, but I'm going to do something similar that you do. And you know who's, and the person that I, and I have to say this, the person that I work with the closest is your AD at Southern, Roman Banks. He and I, we bounce ideas off each other consistently. And so a lot of things that I do, he and I talk about.
Let me ask you this, because Huntsville, Alabama is turning into one of the fastest growing metro areas in the United States, a very clean and nice place for families to move and live, tech savvy. How does Alabama A&M Athletics sell itself to a community that has money, but then to say, hey, if you're bored, come check out some sports. Not only if you're bored, come be a fan of our sports. You know, how do you tap into that Huntsville, Alabama, and surrounding area market?
Well, a lot of our graduates are engineers. And you know, now the FBI is here. We have Redstone Arsenal. And so we tap, and a lot of our graduates are there. So we tap into that quite a bit. Yes, Huntsville is one of the nicest places to live in the country. And so we do, we talk about that, but then we're the only Division I school in town. And so we're telling Huntsville, we're your Division I program. And so we go out and invite, you know, the city council, you know, Rotary, everyone to the game. And having a partnership with them, they are, we give them tickets and, you know, have them come. We want them to experience it. Of course, we want them to purchase stuff. But, you know, in a relationship, you got to get to know somebody before you can ask them for anything. And so that's what we're doing. We're getting to know the community. Everyone is seeing our vision in athletics. And our president, Dr. Wim, his vision is global. And so they see what we're doing, and they want to be a part. And that's why we're becoming to be successful in athletics. As far as the institution, I think we're second to none, to be honest. We're projected to be almost nearly 8,000 students this fall. Academically, our faculty are some of the best. And so now it's time for the athletics program to be some of the best.
You know, and I look at that athletic program, and I like the direction of where you're headed. For you, when you talk about these interview processes, what is that like for you, and what are you looking for out of your coaches moving forward as you start to have the coaches that you've named to become position for success?
Yeah, what I'm looking for is someone who has a passionate for helping people. If you're just looking for that self-gratification for, well, I did this and I won, and when you're talking I, when you're interviewing with me, that becomes an issue for me, because I know it's all about you instead of we can do this, we can do that. So when I'm interviewing coaches, I look for that. I look for the person who can really articulate their craft. Every coach that I've hired, you have to come in my office and recruit me. And then you have to teach me. I have a whiteboard. You have to educate me on plays. Like in basketball, I had the coaches tell me about plays. And I'm like, okay, you got to coach me. You got to coach as if I'm a team player. And if you can't clearly articulate your craft, then to me, I know you can't do it to the student. And so that's what I look for. And that's part of my process. And I've been doing it for years. That's my process of hiring any coach. Now, I may not know about lacrosse. However, you're supposed, if I got lacrosse, you got to teach me how to play lacrosse. And if you can't, then you're not the coach for me.
You say by the time they're done with the interview, you better know something about lacrosse, huh?
I better know something.
And let me ask also the same thing, this ever-changing world, and I always like to have this conversation with athletic directors, NIL and the collectives. What does this look like for Alabama A&M moving forward into the future?
Well, we're excited because, you know, now we can't get away from it, so we have to adapt to it. So what I've done is got with my team, and I said, team, how can we be competitive in this world? So what we've done, you know, we play these game guarantees. So we saved quite a bit. So what we're doing is taking some of our game guarantee dollars, putting it over into the collective, and then being able to offer some NIL dollars for our incoming students and our current students. So that's what we're doing. And it's looking good. It's looking good because so what we've done is just take some of our resources that we've had, fundraising dollars that we've had, and really put it towards that NIL and collective. And we're going to do more of that. We're in the middle of the 150th anniversary of the institution and this big campaign. So we put up an NIL collective tab on that page, and within 10 minutes, we got $500. And people are beginning to give to that because they know that this is the name of the game now, and they want us to be as competitive as we can in this landscape.
Yeah, I'm curious because, you know, we have to take this serious because I talked to Dr. Scott, I talked to Chris Robertson at UAPB, talking the same thing with Roman Banks right here in Baton Rouge, having that conversation, and then with plenty of coaches. Hey, we recruit the kids. The first thing the kids saying is how much?
Yep. Well, now, I'm going to tell you, that's another thing. So, yes, the first thing they're saying is how much. Then I began and I told my coaches, if that's the first question out of their mouth, how much you going to give me? Then you need to look at, is that the right fit for us? Because we can give you so much more than just dollars. And, you know, now I kind of echo what Grambling's football coach was talking about earlier. Okay, do we put a buyout in? You know, put buyouts in for coaches. You put buyout in for athletic administration. Now, well, if you leave, then this is what you have to pay back, or, you know, something like that. But this whole collective piece, man, I think this model is the way it is now. It's kind of out of control. But the way it is now, I think it's going to be that way for another couple years. And then I think the regulations are going to come in and handle that. And what a lot of people are not doing, I'm sorry to go into this, but a lot of people are not training them on the taxes, the financial responsibilities that they have when they get this money. So you let's say the money comes from foundation. Then you get a 1099 at the end of the year, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. What do you mean I owe these taxes? I know you have to do that. Or if it's coming from the institution side and they're taxing out, then you're upset that all those taxes are coming out. But we do financial literacy, and that's part of the Deloitte. That's part of another program that we have here at Alabama A&M. We are educating first, paying second.
And I think that's huge what you're talking about in terms of educating when it comes to the money that's on the table, because no matter how much it is, there's going to have to be something that's taken out. And a lot of these student athletes don't quite understand, or because it's their first time maybe getting that sum of money within that in their hand at that moment. And a lot of times, I can remember being a student, they say something about a refund check. I already knew what everybody did. They went straight to the mall with that refund check. You know, so I totally understand, even just from something that simple. But, yes. You know, moving forward, when you're looking at as your athletic department, what does the future hold for Alabama A&M and this athletics?
I tell you, I think the future holds for Alabama A&M. I think is really bright when you have a supportive leader, as you do with our board of trustees, and then with our president, Dr. Daniel K. Williams. I think our athletics program is going to be one of the leaders, not only in the SWAC, but in the country. That's what we're striving for. And we want to win at everything, on the field, in the classroom, and in the community. And so that's where we're leaning to. And I think in the classroom, we have that. I think we have a good plan there. In the community, we've done well there. Now it's just time for us to raise our profile in athletics. And I think that's what's happening now. That's what you're seeing now in the coaches that are being hired and the successes that we're having on our playing field.
Being in the state of Alabama, so many schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
How tough is it to have a footprint in terms of marketing in the state of Alabama?
But if you have your own niche, and I think our niche is, you come here, you can go anywhere. And that is, we're producing leaders already. And I, when we're telling our message, I'm not going to desecrate your message. I'm going to enhance mine and tell you about me, tell you about what we're doing, and tell you about that. I'm not going to sit here and talk negative about you. So while you're doing that, that's what the focus is. My focus is telling all that we're doing here at Alabama A&M. And I think by doing that, we've been able to strategically increase our enrollment every year. Prime example, our vice president of development and marketing, he put a billboard. The largest billboard in the state of Alabama is in Birmingham. And we purchased that board, and it sits over the city of Birmingham, and you can see it from everywhere. And it's Alabama A&M. We're doing things like that. We're being more visible in every area of Alabama. And so I think, strategically, our president and our VP, they have done a phenomenal job at creating that type of atmosphere in Alabama, where everyone knows that Alabama A&M is the largest HBCU institution in the state.
I tell you what, I was headed to Atlanta for the SWAC basketball tournament, and I have to come through Montgomery. As I'm coming through Montgomery, I'm thinking I'm in Alabama State Hornet Land. What do I see on the billboard? Alabama A&M, come be a Bulldog. Come be a part of the largest HBCU in the state of Alabama. I said, man, look, this is some real stuff. In Alabama State's own backyard, look, y'all don't play up there in Huntsville.
No. And you know what? That's, of course, things are done strategically. but you do that, and you notice, people begin to notice. And then they did it here, too. They They put up. And so, you know, but it's okay because Alabama and Huntsville, everyone knows what the best is. Everyone knows that they don't have to go far to get the best. So you don't have to go 190 miles down. You can stay right at home and get the best here. So I ain't going to talk no mess.
Hey, look, when I saw it, I was talking mess because I said, oh, man, that's tough right there. They threw a billboard right up in these folks' backyard. But nonetheless, that's the type of marketing because what I learned living in Pine Bluff, right? Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same thing in many places. And they deal with it in Baton Rouge. A lot of people want the hometown kids to stay home and go to the school, especially the athletes. But a lot of times what we realize, those hometown kids, sometimes they want an outlet away from home.
They do.
And sometimes they want to go somewhere where it's probably not too far from home. It's within close reach. That's what Grambling and Alcorn is for a lot of Baton Rouge kids. That, and that's what I can say the same thing maybe for kids out of Montgomery. Huntsville could be – it's within enough reach to be away from home, but then it's an opportunity to go somewhere to leave home to want to see something and do other things that are different. That's integral in a young person – growing and learning and maturing, especially when you're talking about the educational side.
That's right. And a lot of these kids, they do want to go away. And I'm saying, well, if you want to go away and get a great experience, then you must come to Alabama A&M if you're in Montgomery. So if anybody in Montgomery hear me, that's what you need to do. You need to come to Alabama because you're going to get the best experience that you possibly can here on the Hill. And but that's all that is done. You know, we have our Dr. Brock Talley, who's over our admissions, and he makes sure that his counselors are in those areas, and we're recruiting. And a lot of our base, you know, our biggest bases, Huntsville and Birmingham and Mobile, but Montgomery is right there with them as far as us getting kids. So we make sure that we hit those areas and hit those areas tough.
And before I get ready to let you go, man, I appreciate you coming on. You guys have a football game. It seems like you're going to do a series with Tennessee State. Tennessee State, who moved out of the Southern Heritage Classic. Of course, Jackson State moved out a few years ago. Then they were playing with UAPB. But you were able to negotiate and work out a deal with Tennessee State. That is a rivalry that a lot of people don't really know much about unless you're part of those programs. Talk about that game moving forward and what you saw out of the importance of Alabama A&M and Tennessee State renewing that rivalry on the football field.
Yeah, that was something that I've been working on since I've been here, and that is getting that game, getting those games back on a schedule. We began to play basketball. You know, we play other sports, but we wanted that football game. And working with Mickey Allen there, we were able to really – sit down at the table and say, look, this is going to benefit both of us. So we're calling it the Legacy Series. And getting that game is going to – and playing home and home. And so we didn't need a third party to promote this game. We think that the game itself can do it, but then we're putting some other things behind it. We have similar vendors. And so our vendors are going to be sponsors of the program and of the games. And so we've decided to do – something that most don't, you know, they get this third party vendor in or person in to promote. We're doing it ourselves. And I think it's going to be financially beneficial for both of us because we don't always have to go outside to create dollars inside. And that's what we're going to do.
Sound like a good game. I'm looking forward to seeing it, especially with you guys, Tennessee State, Alabama A&M, both programs moving in direction with new football coaches. And with your ideas in terms of Alabama A&M moving into the future, man, hey, I'll be watching. I've been curious to see where you guys are going with this, where you going with this. But right now, the hires and everything else, and I got to ask you this before I let you go. I know I keep saying,
okay.
What are you learning about yourself as an AD as the years go by?
I think what I'm learning about myself is that I'm more focused on the task. I see I used to own group homes for boys and foster care network, and my business savvy that I had running those really is helping me navigate these waters now in athletics and just being able to run a business. So I'm learning more about myself just through the some of the decisions. And I'm going to tell you, every decision I make, it's a prayer to God first. Then it's like, okay, Lord, please help guide me through this and just make sure that I'm making the right decision. And thank God, at this point, it's been great.
I totally understand. Listen, everybody that's out there listening is the voice of Dr. Paul Brown. He's the athletic director in Huntsville, Alabama at Alabama A&M. Dr. Brown, man, I appreciate you coming on this morning and having a conversation with me.
Well, I appreciate you having me. And, you know, I always say we're enemies only on that one day when we play. Every other day, we got to stick together because it's only us.
Man, I appreciate you, man, for coming on and being able to voice and show your vision for the department, man. As always, man, good luck to you guys and good luck to you as you continue to move forward on your journey up there in Alabama A&M.
Thank you so much. And as always, and I hate to say it, on the Jaguar Show, but go Bulldogs.
All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. That's the voice of Dr. Paul Brown, athletic director up at Alabama A&M. Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about Southern University spring football game, which will be taking place today at 1 p.m. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107 Live, FM across the Baton Rouge capital city area. Good to have you guys and everybody watching and listening on our YouTube Live and Facebook Live, man. Glad to have you guys. Great having conversations this morning. It is senior weekend on the Bluff, Southern University softball. We had the opportunity to talk to Coach Brittany Williams, and she said, come out and support the Jaguars. They're taking on Texas Southern this weekend. Texas Southern is the number two team in the SWAC West. Guess who's the number three team? Southern University. Guess who won yesterday's first game in the series? Southern University. So you guys make sure you get a chance to get out there and watch and support Southern University and the SWAC West matchup between Texas Southern and Southern in softball. Winner's going to really put themselves in a position as we get ready to close things out on the back end. And Southern did go on the road last week and beat Prairie View in a series. Prairie View, who's 12-3 in conference play, is at the top of the conference. And not only that, spring football today, baseball today, a lot going on. Beautiful day to be on the Bluff for Southern University. Go over across the hump, get a chance to get out, bring the family, bring the kids, get outside and enjoy. Walk the campus, ride your bikes, tailgate. I know my man Bar could be somewhere probably set up this morning or a little bit later, man, and anybody else, man. Just a beautiful day to be on the campus of Southern University and to enjoy athletics and sports. And that's what it's all about when you get opportunities to do that. Not only that, let's look at SWAC, and then let's look at Southern, and let's look at some of the stats from last year, because in the spring game today, Southern University is going to have at 1 o'clock at A.W. Mumford Stadium. Southern is in a position to try to improve off of last year, and most of all, when I say improve, we're talking offensively. Three quarterbacks in the rotation last year, Xavier Tissett, Noah Biden, then you add in Jalen Woods, right? Now you lose Tissett, who's at Grambling. Noah Biden transfers out of the program. And it leaves Jalen Woods, who is the lone signal caller from last year. Watching Jalen Woods from the quarterback position gave Southern, in my opinion, from the passing perspective, the best opportunity at the explosive plays going down the field. But nonetheless, let's take a look at Southern's offense last year in terms of scoring. Southern ranked 10th in the SWAC in scoring overall, averaging 20 points a game. And then you look at the totals last year. Southern was fourth in the SWAC in total offensive production, 4,732 yards of offense on 31 touchdowns last year, averaging 364 yards a game. That was Southern's offense, fourth. The three teams above Southern in offense, Florida A&M, Jackson State, and Alabama A&M. Then let's go over to rushing. Right, the issue early on with Southern and his run game was the offensive line play. Questions that what was happening? Could it get together? Could it form? Did it gel? And it did it after about midweek through the season. Southern's offensive line was able to come together, and you saw Southern being able to put together some great runs behind Kendrick Rimes and Kobe Dillon. Of course, both of those top running backs for Southern are both transferred out of the program. So Southern's going to be young at the running back position, especially with a kid by the name of Jason Gabriel coming out of New Orleans from John Curtis High School. But then you look at Southern last year, ranked fifth in the conference in rushing, averaging 156 yards rushing a game on six touchdowns. 2,000 total yards rushing as a team last year. Then we go over to the passing game, and this is where Southern, you will be surprised at where they ranked. Fourth in the conference last year, averaging 207 passing yards a game off of 15 touchdowns, 2,701 yards passing last year, three teams above Southern last year in terms of offense and passing. That's Pine Bluff, Florida A&M, and Alabama A&M. Of course, Pine Bluff had Mekhi Hagan as their signal caller, who was a 2,000-yard passer. Now we start to look at some of those leaders for Southern, and we're talking about offensively, right? Let's look at what Southern loses at the running back position. Kobe Dillon, who ranked sixth in the conference by the time it was all said in rushing, we lose him. Kobe Dillon on the season averaged 61 rushing yards a game with 801 rushing yards on the season. Crazy enough, Kobe Dillon only had one touchdown on the year. His longest run was 74 yards. Then you look at Kendrick Grimes. Kendrick Grimes was ranked 10th in the conference in rushing, averaging 49 rushing yards a game. His total yards on the season was 645 total rushing yards and with seven touchdowns on the season. Then you add in C.J. Russell, who is also not with the program anymore, used up his eligibility. C.J. Russell ranked 22nd in the conference in terms of rushing, averaging 27 yards a game, 334 rushing yards on the season with four touchdowns. So Southern basically loses their three rushers, C.J. Russell, Kobe Dillon, as well as Kendrick Grimes. So that position is going to have a lot of work cut out for them in terms of the running back room. Now let's look at passing, right? Southern running three quarterbacks last year, but the leading passer out of all of the quarterbacks was Noah Biden. Of course, Noah Biden, the most experienced coming into the season. He had the nod for the starting position as we started the season underway in Lake Charles at McNeese. Noah Biden ranked ninth in the conference last year in passing. He passed for 1,219 yards on the season with five touchdowns. Ninth. And out of all of the quarterbacks on that roster, and we're looking at 13 quarterbacks being ranked out in passing, Noah Biden led the way. Now what you saw out of Jalen Woods on the back end of the season was something to grow from. If Jalen Woods had to work his way from the third spot to be the second spot in the first spot. So it was a lot of snaps taken between Xavier Tisset and Noah Biden that Jalen Woods never got a chance to get into towards the end of the season and would have had even more snaps if it wasn't for a concussion holding him out of the SWAC championship. But the top passer last year in the conference was Daniel Richardson from Florida A&M, passed for 2,000 yards. Only two quarterbacks in this league passing for over 2,000 yards last year. That's Daniel Richardson from Florida A&M and Mekhi Hagans from UAPB. Then on the rushing side, only one rusher in this conference rushing over 1,000 yards last year. That was Irv Mulligan of Jackson State. Donovan England, who rushed for 967 yards, was the second closest. And now we look at the receiving side of things, right? Southern's best receiver, Darren Morris, ranked 15th in the conference. Overall, averaging only 36 yards a game and 434 yards on the season. Second to him, Dupree Fuller, the tight end position, ranked 21st in the conference with 370 yards receiving on the season with two touchdowns. Those are your two top receivers from last year, Dupree Fuller and Darren Morris. Devontae Gibson led the way on the receiving side for Southern University, 1,212 yards, along with Nathan Rampart from Mississippi Valley, 1,038 yards on the season. Only two receivers in the conference with 1,000 yards on the receipt on the year. Only one running back in the conference with 1,000 yards rushing. And only two quarterbacks on the season with over 2,000 yards passing. Offensive struggles around the conference. I think you continue to see that, especially starting from the quarterback position. So you're going to want to see Southern and Coach Mark Frederick as the offensive coordinator. He talked about it a couple weeks ago, trying to improve this Southern University offense. It's going to be young with Jalen Woods as the signal caller. Even though he had those starts towards the end of the season, he's still a young guy in terms of the experience and snaps. Then you're looking at the running back room. You're looking at the wide receiver room. Not a lot of big name talent coming back, especially being ranked amongst the SWAC and the stats. That's what you want to see the improvement on top of. I'm talking about all of that. Factor in the offensive line and then getting those guys to gel together. It's going to be a tough hill to climb for Southern University's offense, I think, as you continue to move forward. But that's what I think all eyes is going to be on today. We've seen Coach Miller and the defense, right, continue to find ways to get it done and hold Southern in the ball game. All-American Kelby Givens should be on full display today and watching the rest of the defense under his leadership. We know we don't have some faith in that. It's going to be Southern's offense that's going to have people scratching their head, and I think today that's going to be the big side to watch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get ready to close things out. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal, man. Glad to have everybody with us. I'm Perry White. Glad to have all of our listeners across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM and everybody that's watching and listening on our Facebook Live as well as our YouTube. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, as well as you can type us in the Jaguar Journal, Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. We're all over the place. My man Mike working hard behind the scenes with me, making sure that we spread the word about the Jaguar Journal. Want to thank Coach Brittany Williams coming on today. She's the head softball coach over at Southern University as they have the senior weekend against Texas Southern this weekend. Thank her for coming on. Thank Dr. Travian Scott. He is the athletic director of Grambling State. Thank him for coming on today and talking to us as well about what's happening up at Grambling. Then Dr. Paul Bryant coming from Alabama A&M, the athletic director up there as well. Having conversations this morning just about athletics and then for everybody else. Of course, we know if you're on the bluff today, Southern University spring football game at 1 o'clock. Then you're going to have softball first pitch at 12 o'clock. And then baseball as well, first pitch today at 3 o'clock, taking on Alcorn. The Braves. Southern fell short yesterday 11-7 to Alcorn. They have Alcorn at 3 o'clock today and then wrap up things with Alcorn in the three-game series on the bluff tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Lee Hines Field. And then before I get ready to get out of here, let's look at some SWAC standings, right? I want to give you guys an update what's happening in SWAC baseball. Starting at the bottom, got Alcorn State this weekend's opponent for Southern. They're 1-12 in conference play. You look at Alabama A&M. They're 2-11 in baseball in conference play. Jackson State 4-9. Mississippi Valley 4-8. Then you have Southern right there 5-8 in conference play. 13-9 overall on the season. Above Southern, the Golden Lions of UAPB and Prairie View both tied at 4-6. Then you have Grambling State at 8-5. Alabama State at 10-3. Texas Southern at 10-2. Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M at the top of the conference in baseball. Bethune-Cookman at 11-2, and then Florida A&M at 12-1 in conference play. Both those teams, Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman, the only two programs outside of Jackson State with above 500 records in the conference. Jackson State, although they are 4-9 in conference play and on a five-game losing streak in baseball, they're 16-15 overall on the season. But Florida A&M overall is 18-14, along with Bethune-Cookman, who's 18-16 on the season on baseball. So that's how things wrap up on the baseball side. So if you're going to be on the bluff today, be sure to get over there and check out baseball and Coach Crenshaw and his team taking on Alcorn State. Hopefully they can knock out the next two wins in this series and close it out. And then softball taking on Texas Southern over there. It is senior weekend, so go congratulate those five seniors who have dedicated the years of their life to Southern University. And then you get over there to the Southern University spring football game at A.W. Mumford Stadium at 1 o'clock. Listen, take what you may from it, all right? It ain't August yet. Just take what you may from it, if that makes any sense for you. All right? It's going to be a process. Coach Graves and that staff have some work to do. You'll see that work being put into play today. But nonetheless, get over there, enjoy yourself. Enjoy being on the bluff. Bring out the bikes, bring the dog, bring the kids. Get out, walk around, enjoy just being on the campus of Southern University. Get a chance to go over there and look at the river on the bluff, one of the most beautiful and scenic views in all of the city. The river should be high with all of that rainwater coming out of the Midwest and Ohio Valley, River Valley, and coming out of Arkansas and everywhere else. So it'll be a good sight for you guys, man, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I am out of the studio today, but I will be back next week. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Mike, thank you for everything you're doing back in Baton Rouge in the studio for me and everybody out there listening, man. Thank you, guys. Be sure to go follow the Jaguar Journal on X, on Instagram. Hit that like and follow button on our Facebook if you're watching on our Facebook Live. And as well as hit that subscribe button for all of you guys that are listening and watching on our YouTube. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So if the man says the same, I'll be back next week at the same time and the same place. As always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Have a good weekend, everybody.